Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is Amos chapter 7. If you have a Bible, please follow along. This is what the Sovereign Lord showed me. He was preparing swarms of locusts after the king's share had been harvested and just as the second crop was coming up. When they had stripped the land clean, I cried out, "Sovereign Lord, forgive. How can Jacob survive? He is so small." So the Lord relented. "This will not happen," the Lord said. This is what the Sovereign Lord showed me. The Sovereign Lord was calling for judgment by fire. It dried up the great deep and devoured the land. Then I cried out, "Sovereign Lord, I beg you, stop. How can Jacob survive? He is so small." So the Lord relented. "This will not happen either," the Sovereign Lord said. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," I replied. Then the Lord said, "Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword I will rise against the house of Jeroboam." Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. "Amos is raising a conspiracy against you, in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile, away from their native land." Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy any more at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.' Now then, hear the word of the Lord. You say, 'Do not prophesy against Israel, and stop preaching against the house of Isaac.' Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Your wife will become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourself will die in a pagan country. And Israel will certainly go into exile, away from their native land." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray, please, now that you would be our teacher. By your Spirit, would you teach our hearts? Help us to be ready to listen and to learn and to put into practice what we learn this morning. Amen. Please keep the passage open in front of you, Amos chapter 7. Many people have said, people keep saying, we are living in extraordinary times, and we really are, aren't we? And maybe now in particular feels another key moment. We are being hit by the second wave of the virus, and we have no idea how big that is going to be, how many lives are going to be lost through it. And we are now in a lockdown again, and so that brings all the fears and all the struggles and the loneliness that brings. And as I record this, we are getting in the election results for the President of America, and we still don't know who that's going to be. And maybe by Sunday we know, but maybe we don't know. And that feels like a really significant thing, not just for America, but for the world. Well, in troubling times, in significant times, what do we do? Well, we've got to look to the Word of God, haven't we, to say, Lord, what do you want us to do? And I don't think it's a coincidence that today we are looking at Amos chapter 7, I don't want to overstate this, but in God's providence, I think it's no accident that we come to Amos chapter 7 and that there are significant things for us to learn today from this chapter that we need to put into practice today and this week. Now, we need to note that in the Bible, God establishes a pattern. Very often, at key moments, the Lord raises up a particular individual to stand between God and the people, an intermediary, someone to go between, someone who will face God and plead with God, speak to God, but also who will stand before the people and speak to the people for God. God does that in the Old Testament with Moses. There are significant moments where Moses does that role. And in Amos chapter 7, we see God doing that with Amos. Amos stands between God and the people. And so in the chapter, you'll see verses 1 to 9, Amos is facing God. And in verses 10 to 17, he is before people. And Amos acts as that go-between. And so we're going to learn two things from this chapter, and somewhere in amongst it all, we'll pause and have the act of remembrance. We've got two points. And the first one is this: from those first nine verses, as Amos is facing God, is in God's presence, and it is this: plead with God for mercy. So we're entering the last section of the book of Amos. We've had in the opening chapters God's judgment pronounced against the surrounding nations and against Judah and Israel. And then in the following chapters, we've had Amos explaining why God is judging his people for spiritual hypocrisy, for a sham religion, and for all the injustices that they are committing against one another. And now, in chapter 7 onwards, we enter the last section in which we see God's judgment and visions of God's judgment. And we see three of those visions in this opening section of chapter 7. And the first is this. It is those of locusts. So verse 1, this is what the sovereign Lord showed me. He was preparing swarms of locusts after the king's share had been harvested and just as the second crop was coming up. Now, we're not totally sure what that means, but it's probably that the king had a kind of tax that the first crop that came up was his. And then the second crop to come up would be for the people. And yet that is going to be devastated. Verse 2, when they had stripped the land clean, I cried out, Sovereign Lord, forgive. How can Jacob survive? He is so small. Now we need to see here the sovereignty of God in this judgment. It is the Lord who is preparing these locusts. And we'll see it later on in the second vision. It is the Lord who calls upon the fire of judgment. And we've seen earlier in Amos that it is the Lord who brings disasters on cities, who brings armies. It is the Lord who brings calamities. And we need to take that on board, that calamities, disasters come from the Lord just as much as good times come from the Lord. Now, some people, all of us, I would think, struggle with that idea, but we need to hold on to it. The Lord's sovereignty covers not just the good times, but the difficult times, not just peacetime, but wartime, not just times of prosperity, but times of plague and times of viruses. God is sovereign over it all. And yet he is sovereign over it all in such a way that he is in no way responsible for evil. And the people who commit evil acts are in no way excused, but are still held responsible. Yes, we struggle to hold this together, but the Bible says it's true. After all, the alternative is even worse, to say that God is not in control and isn't in control of disasters. That would be terrible. That would be saying something else is. Something else is more powerful than God. God isn't really in control. That would be a disaster. No, God is in control of calamities as well as times of prosperity. And therefore it is right that Amos goes to the Lord with this problem and pleads with the Lord. And so he says, Sovereign Lord, forgive. How can Jacob survive? He's so small. And the Lord relents from bringing complete calamity. The second vision is of fire. Verse 4, this is what the Sovereign Lord showed me. The Sovereign Lord was calling for judgment by fire. It dried up the great deep and devoured the land. Then I cried out, Sovereign Lord, I beg you, stop. How can Jacob survive? He is so small. So the Lord relented. This will not happen either, the Sovereign Lord said. Now, you've pretty much got the same kind of idea happening again, haven't you? Complete decimation, complete wipeout of the people of God. Amos pleading with God and God relenting. And the fact it happens twice is sort of underlining it, saying this is definitely the case. God is not going to wipe out his people completely. But judgment will come. The third vision, you see, is that of the plumb line. Verse 7, this is what the Lord showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, what do you see, Amos? A plumb line, I replied. Then the Lord said, look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. God's saying there will be judgment. It won't be total annihilation, but there will be judgment. And I will use a plumb line. Now, here's a plumb line. Colin Roger has this, a plumb line. You use it if you're building things to make sure that walls are straight. And God is saying, I'm going to use a plumb line. I'm not going to wipe out everyone in Israel, but I will use a plumb line. Now, what is the plumb line that he's talking about? Well, the plumb line is his self-revelation. It's his word. It's his word of grace and law that the people have been ignoring. Presuming upon God's grace and ignoring God's law. And God is saying, no, my word will be the plumb line and judgment will come. It won't wipe everyone out, but it will come. So what do we see here in these three visions? We see Amos before the Lord, pleading with the Lord that judgment would not be total. Now, who will do that today? Who will do that for the world? You? Me? Boris? Donald Trump? Joe Biden? Who's going to be the one who will represent us, go before God and plead for mercy at this time? Well, the good thing is that Amos points us to one greater. Points us to the Lord Jesus, who stands between us and God. You see, Amos could only plead on the basis of pity. Oh, God, they're so small. Jesus can plead on the basis of justice because he can say, I took their punishment for them. And all who will come to Jesus can have forgiveness. And so we need to come to Jesus as our mediator, the one who comes between us and God. And who intercedes for us. And yet, as those who can now come into God's presence, as those who are God's children, we are able to come into God's presence and we can plead to God to be merciful to the nation and to our world. And that is what we need to do, to pray. And so will you? Will we be committed to praying for our neighbourhood, for our nation, for the world, that the Lord would have mercy? And what would that mercy look like? Well, yes, it would be that the virus stops. But actually, there is something bigger, isn't there? That more and more people would turn to Jesus and would come to him in repentance and faith. And so we are being called upon to pray. The leaders of the Church of England have issued a call to prayer, to pray particularly on Thursdays. And particularly actually at 8 o'clock in the evening when we used to clap in support of the NHS, they're saying, pray now. In this lockdown, please would you pray? And I think that is really significant, that we should come before the Lord and plead with him for mercy. And so please would you do this? On Thursdays, maybe on your own, in your family, maybe around the meal table, maybe at another time. Actually, the call to prayer is calling for us to fast as well, out of earnestness in pleading with the Lord. We are also going to open the church building. Now, we can do this in this lockdown, that people can come in for individual prayer. We mustn't socialise, we mustn't mingle, but you can come in. And now, of course, we can pray wherever we are. Wherever you are, you can pray. You don't have to come to the church building, but maybe you'll find it helpful as a way of saying, actually, I'm pleading with the Lord. And to make sure you do it by putting it in your diary. Sometimes we have to do that, don't we? Put it in the diary. Go to a particular place to say, I'm going to do this. And so on Thursdays, from 11 in the morning till midday, and from 8 till 9 o'clock in the evenings, the church building will be open. You can come in and sit and pray and plead with the Lord for mercy. Please, would we commit ourselves to doing this? Because the Lord does hear prayer. The miracle is, the amazing thing is, the Lord hears prayer. He heard Amos's prayer. And there have been other times where we as a nation have pleaded with the Lord, where there have been days of prayer. This ties in with Remembrance Day as well. You can look online about the miracle of Dunkirk. If you've watched the film, or if you know about the history, that's when many Allied troops were rescued from the beaches of Dunkirk. But just before that, on the 26th of May 1940, King George issued a call to prayer, and the nation prayed. People turned out to pray. They went to Westminster Abbey. In fact, there are queues of people. There were queues of people. There are photos of them. Long queues of people wanting to get in to pray to the Lord for mercy. And the Lord answered those prayers. There were many miracles. Look them up online. Find out about them. It's a great thing to read about. Will you pray? Will you plead with the Lord for mercy this Thursday and all the Thursdays during this lockdown and at other times? This is the first thing we see. Amos before the Lord, pleading with the Lord for mercy. We know Jesus is our fulfillment of that. And so we call on the Lord, asking the Lord to have mercy on our nation, and on our neighbourhood and on the world. But Amos doesn't just come before the Lord. He also then comes before the people. And so our second point is proclaim God's word to people. And here we come to verses 10 to 17. And it's this confrontation with Amaziah, the priest of Bethel. Now, we know from earlier in the book of Amos, this is the place that Amos has condemned. He said the worship there should stop because it is a sham. And so it's not surprising that the priest of Bethel is not totally happy with Amos. And Amaziah sends a message to the king. We see this verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. So Amaziah is riding to the king, sending a message saying, well, Amos is conspiring against you. In other words, this priest is now against Amos. He wants to get rid of him. And it's not surprising that actually one of the tactics that's used, which is often used against those who proclaim the truth, is that they are misrepresented. That Amaziah says he's raising a conspiracy. Well, Amos hasn't been doing that. And then he confronts Amos. Verse 12, get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. In other words, go home. Earn your bread there. Do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom. Amos, you're coming up against royalty now. Against the king's temple, against this priest. And so Amos, stop prophesying and go home. Earn your bread there. And Amos, well, he responds brilliantly to Amaziah. Verse 40, Amos answered Amaziah, I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. This was his profession. Back down in Judah, he was a shepherd, looked after sheep, and he looked after sycamore fig trees. I'm not sure how difficult they are to look after, what you've got to do to look after them, but that's what he did. In other words, what he's saying to Amaziah is, I'm not doing this prophecy thing to make money. This isn't my profession, and I didn't choose to do this. This isn't what I chose to do, but rather, verse 15, but the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. I didn't choose to do this, but God took me. Now notice God's sovereignty again. God prepares the locusts. God calls for the fire. And God takes Amos and says, go and speak my word. And Amos is saying, look, I've got a higher authority behind me. I can't stop. I can't not declare this because the Lord God has told me to go to Israel to proclaim this. And so he says, you say, verse 16, you say, do not prophesy against Israel and stop preaching against the house of Isaac. In other words, he's saying, right, you've told me to stop speaking. Therefore, verse 17, this is what the Lord says. The very thing that you've told me not to do, I'm going to do it right now. To you, about you. Your wife will become a prostitute in the city. Your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up. And you yourself will die in a pagan country. And Israel will certainly go into exile away from their native land. Amaziah, judgment is coming. And it is coming against you personally. And the nation will go into exile. It won't be completely wiped out, but it will go into exile. Now here, Amaziah is one who failed the plumb line test because he rejected God's word. He called on Amos to leave. He said, we don't want your prophesying. We don't want your preaching. Go away. In fact, he says the land can't cope with it. Which is interesting. If you go back through the chapter, you see the word land is mentioned several times. Go back over it later on. You'll see in relation to the locusts that they stripped the land, to the fire that it devoured the land. And now Amaziah is saying, Amos, the land can't cope with Amos's words. But Amos says, I've got to speak them. I've got to preach them, even if there's opposition. Now, we need to take this warning, don't we? Because maybe we might be tempted to do something similar, to say, actually, I don't want to hear what God says. We've had week after week of Amos, and we go, actually, I've heard quite a lot of judgment and sin, and I really don't want to hear any more of this. Well, we've got to be careful that we're not being like Amaziah and saying, actually, I don't want the word of the Lord. See, we mustn't reject the word of God as if we're the plumb line against God's word, saying, I don't want that. No, we must take God's word, whatever it's like. Oh, preachers can make mistakes. I heard once of a preacher who decided to do a series which would go right the way through all the minor prophets and took months and months to go through it all, the whole load of judgment after judgment after judgment. Yes, we can make mistakes, but be careful. That actually, when we say, actually, I'm fed up of hearing this, that what we might be doing is being an Amaziah and rejecting God's word, because God's word is the plumb line against our hearts. And yet again, Amos points us forward to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who came and preached truth to the people, who came on God's behalf and spoke the truth. And yet he was rejected. Not just told to go home, but he was killed. The truth is not popular. And as Jesus' followers, we are to go too. We're to proclaim. Go to the world, taking the message of the cross, of God's mercy, God's love, yes, God's judgment as well, but God's mercy at the cross. Do you see why this is so important for us at this significant moment? That we need to hear, we need to plead with the Lord for mercy, and we need to proclaim the word, proclaim God's word to people. How can we do that? Look for opportunities with your neighbours, with those you work with, if you're able to go into work, with family, with friends. Get involved in the Berylands Advent Calendar Trail. This is something that we're going to be doing. You've had a message about this from Yvonne. We need people to do their windows and to use that as an opportunity to proclaim God's word. Yes, it's a little way of doing it, but it could be significant for people as they do that. Would you get involved? And then on the 5th of December, if lockdown permits, if we're out of it and we're able to do it, we would love to do a flyer drop around the local area, putting little booklets in people's doors which proclaim the good news of Jesus, and also something that will tell them about that Advent calendar trail and about our Christmas services. Would you make a priority of being there for that? We'll do it in a way which is COVID safe, but we need to get the message out, don't we, to the local area. So there are two essential things we see from this chapter, from Amos 7, that we need to put into practice. We need to plead with the Lord for mercy, and we need to proclaim God's word to people.